Hello, and welcome to Season 3 of the Fashion Law Network podcast. I'm your host, Kasia Zabrowska-Traubin, a patent attorney and fashion enthusiast based in Los Angeles, California. Join me as I break down legal cases going on in the world of fashion today, discuss recent fashion news, and demystify patent law. Hello, everyone. I hope you're having a great day, and thank you so much for tuning in today. This episode will be all about Tom Ford and his incredible fashion career metamorphosis that he's had for over the past 30-odd years now. So I'm sure my listeners know that Tom Ford is a fashion designer, but he's also a film director, and he was the famous creative director of Gucci from 1994 to 2004. And then he founded his own Tom Ford fashion label in 2005. Now, I think Tom Ford may be currently most known for his beauty brand, which is aptly titled Tom Ford. However, I think a lot of my listeners will know about Tom Ford from his previous career, when he was the creative director of Gucci from the mid-90s until the mid-2000s. Now, he's really known for this because he completely turned Gucci around. Gucci was basically on the brink of bankruptcy when Tom Ford entered the scene there. So in this episode, I'm going to first go over just a brief history of Tom Ford's career in the fashion world, and then I'll provide a discussion and analysis of a really interesting recent trademark infringement lawsuit that Tom Ford was facing involving a over $2,000 cardigan that Tom Ford designed, and he got sued by Steve McQueen's son. Now, Steve McQueen is, of course, the very famous American actor, and he got sued because Tom Ford had originally called this cardigan the McQueen cardigan. So once I go over that case, I will move into discussing a recent trademark approval from the United States Patent and Trademark Office overcoming a scandalous and immoral objection that Tom Ford, or his attorney, I guess, got for one of his famous perfumes, which is titled Fucking Fabulous, which is one of my personal favorite perfumes. So I've been keeping my eye on these trademark applications that were filed by Tom Ford's attorney. But before we get into all those very interesting cases, let's just begin with some background history information on Mr. Tom Ford. So Mr. Tom Ford was born in 1961 in Austin, Texas, so that makes him almost 60 years old now. And according to biography.com, he spent most of his early childhood in Texas before relocating to Santa Fe, New Mexico with his family once he was in high school. Once he graduated high school, he enrolled at NYU as an art history major, and it was the late 70s at this time. However, while at NYU, it's reported that Ford became a regular at the Studio 54 nightclub, and unfortunately, his grades plummeted. And in 1980, after just being at NYU for 1 year, Ford ended up dropping out. He moved to LA and was in a bunch of TV commercials. Now, if you guys have ever seen photos of Tom Ford, you'll see that he's very handsome and tall. So I can definitely see him in front of the camera. So then, again, according to biography.com, Tom Ford moved back to New York City from LA, and he enrolled in the Parsons School of Design, and he studied architecture, then transferred to Paris, also at the Parsons School of Design. He ended up graduating in 85, decided architecture was not for him after all, and he transitioned into the fashion world. He had a few fashion jobs. One was designing jeans for the designer Perry Ellis in New York City. Then in 1990, he moved to Milan, Italy, to work as a designer for Gucci in the women's section. Ford really reinvented Gucci at that time, and he quickly went up the company's ranks, and he became creative director in 1994. Also, biography.com reports that for totally revamped Gucci's image, and he updated a lot of their looks with a lot of like sex appeal. Now, you guys might remember one of his most risque moves. It's one that is definitely etched in my mind, when he shaved like a large monogram G for Gucci into the crotch of a model for this ad campaign. It was very controversial at the time, and I'm sure it still would be now. So then Tom Ford expanded Gucci into lots of new ventures like men's, women's sportswear. And then Gucci also was able to acquire the brand Yves Saint Laurent. Biography.com states that when Ford was the creative director of Gucci, the company's annual sales increased from $230 million to $3 billion. So obviously that's amazing. So then Tom Ford resigned in 2004. And in 2005, he founded his own fashion company, the Tom Ford brand. And this brand is still around, and they offer eyewear, beauty products, menswear, womenswear, of course, also. He's known for those really kind of sharp tailored blazers and loose pants. That's kind of the image I have when I think of a Tom Ford design. And Tom Ford's beauty is in a partnership with Estee Lauder. So not only is Tom Ford a fashion designer, beauty mogul, among lots of other things, he's also a pretty notable film director and producer. According to The Hollywood Reporter, in 2009, he debuted his directorial skills with a movie called A Single Man. It was based on a novel of the same name, and it starred Colin Firth as a LA-based gay college professor. He was also a producer and director of a movie titled Nocturnal Animals. Okay, so now let's switch gears and briefly discuss trademark law, since this episode will be trademark-centric. Both cases I'll be discussing next will be dealing with trademark law. So first, what is a trademark? A trademark is defined as being a symbol, word, or words that are legally registered or established by use as representing a company or product. And there are two types of trademarks. There's a character and a logo mark. Character, or what is also known as a word mark, protects the actual word of the brand name of a company or a product. So here, one example of a word mark would be Tom Ford Beauty, for example, as Tom Ford's beauty company. And the second type of trademark, which is a logo mark, which is a symbol that's associated with the company. So for our purposes, Tom Ford has that logo of a capital T, which is kind of like half superimposed onto a capital F. So now that we know at least a little bit about trademark law, our first case for discussion is McQueen versus Tom Ford. And as I mentioned at the top of this episode, this case deals with a $2,000 Tom Ford designed cardigan sweater, which he named the McQueen sweater. So the son of the late famous American actor Steve McQueen, Chadwick, was not happy with this, and he filed this lawsuit against Tom Ford in California in March of 2019. So in pulling up the 17-page complaint here that he filed, which is titled Complaint for McQueen versus Tom Ford International, the Neiman Marcus Group, and Bergdorf Goodman. Now, Neiman Marcus Group and Bergdorf are named as defendants here because the cardigan was also sold at those two places, and it allegedly also had the title of the sweater as being the McQueen sweater on there. And does 1 through 10, and the claims here are trademark infringement, false endorsement and designation of origin, right of publicity, and common law unfair competition. So I'm only going to focus on the trademark infringement part here. And in reading the complaint, it starts out with the general allegation that Steve McQueen is a movie icon and, quote, the king of cool. I remember Steve McQueen as the actor in one of my favorite movies, a little before my time, but I still love it, called The Thomas Crown Affair. Highly recommend it if no one has seen it. I know there have been one or maybe two versions after the original, but I think the original is the best. Anyway, back to the complaint. So the complaint alleges that McQueen's various accolades are mostly in the film industry. Then it goes on to state that he died in 1980. And then the complaint alleges that there are certain items that became synonymous with Mr. Steve McQueen. And one such item was a wool cardigan with a shawl collar. And then they show various photos of the actor in these type of cardigan sweaters. Then the complaint gets into the intellectual property details of Steve McQueen by alleging that for more than 30 years, the McQueen family has been carefully limiting the projects featuring Steve McQueen, and they own trademark rights to Steve McQueen. And then they give the registration numbers there for the use of, among other things, sports shirts, sweaters, and tops. For example, for many years, the Steve McQueen name and trademark have been officially licensed for use by Barbour International for a collection of outerwear and apparel. So then we get into the main part of the complaint, where the plaintiff alleges that among the products that Tom Ford sells directly through its website and its stores, because Tom Ford has his own website, obviously, tomford.com, are these wool cardigan sweaters with shawl collars, and that Tom Ford allegedly labels these sweaters as, quote, McQueen sweaters. And then they show photos. Actually, what looks like a screenshot of, I think, where Tom Ford was selling them directly on his tomford.com website. One price here is $2,390. Then the complaint goes into a similar analysis using Neiman Marcus and Bergdorf Goodman, because those companies also allegedly sold these sweaters on their websites and stores. Then the complaint alleges that neither Tom Ford nor Neiman Marcus had a license or other permission from plaintiffs to use the Steve McQueen intellectual property on the products described, and that consumers routinely pay a premium for products authenticated or approved by the McQueen family. It goes on to allege that defendants benefited from their use of the Steve McQueen intellectual property by trading upon his goodwill and reputation to promote and sell their infringing products. So then the complaint gets into the first cause of action. And this is, as I stated, the only one we're going to focus on in this episode, trademark infringement. So plaintiff alleges that they own valid registrations issued by the USPTO for the Steve McQueen trademarks, as I mentioned before, in the apparel category, and that plaintiffs have never consented to defendants' use of the marks. Defendants infringe the McQueen trademarks willfully, and unless restrained by the court, defendants will continue to infringe the McQueen trademarks. So then the complaint goes on to describe the other three causes of action. So then, according to the docket history here, a few months later, both the Neiman Marcus Group, Bergdorf Goodman, and Tom Ford filed their replies, which basically are like whether they admit or deny various items. So I'm not going to go over that. That's nothing overly interesting here. Now, unfortunately, this case has a pretty anticlimactic ending, because after some back and forth between both parties, in August of 2019, there's a notice of settlement in the docket history here. So meaning that the plaintiffs and defendants reached a settlement. So due to the confidentiality of settlement agreements, we're not going to know what happened here. However, I think the glaring issue in this case is whether Tom Ford is deemed to be using the, quote, Steve McQueen sweater or McQueen sweater words as a trademark, or whether it's being used more as a description of his cardigan sweaters. In my opinion, I think this is more of a descriptive type situation. However, as I said before, we don't have any access to the arguments that Tom Ford's counsel may have set forth here. Now let's switch gears and discuss a really interesting aspect of trademark law and how it relates to one of Tom Ford's trademarks. So just by way of general background, trademarks are governed by the Lanham Act, which is also known as the Trademark Act of 1946. It's a federal statute that governs trademarks, service marks, and unfair competition. It was passed by Congress in 1946 and signed into law by President Harry Truman. I always like to know facts like this about various statutes and law. Hopefully I'm not the only one. Now, there's a really interesting part of the Lanham Act, which is Section 2A, which prohibits the registration of trademarks, which, quote, consist of or are compromises of immoral, deceptive, or scandalous matter, or matter which may disparage or falsely suggest a connection with persons living or dead, institutions, beliefs, or national symbols. So our case that we're going to talk about is going to be dealing with these, quote, immoral or scandalous marks. And you may be asking yourself, what exactly is an immoral or scandalous mark? Well, we have some case law that can help us here. There was a recent Supreme Court decision on this matter. The case is Iancu versus Brunetti, and I will link this case to the episode notes below. So here are some brief facts about that case. In 1990, there was a streetwear clothing company that was founded by artist and designer Eric Brunetti and his business partner at the time, and they named the company Friends You Can't Trust, U like just the letter U. So in taking the first letter of that business name, they got F-U-C-T, and that was kind of what they called their business also. Now, F-U-C-T, of course, has a phonetic similarity to the expletive of almost the same spelling. So Brunetti operated his company for over 20 years, and then he saw that there were some third parties that were selling his clothing online, so he decided to file a trademark for his company name, F-U-C-T. The trademark application was denied as being a scandalous word under Section 2A of the Lanham Act, which is the section that we just discussed before, because F-U-C-T was phonetically similar to the obvious vulgar word. The USPTO decision was upheld by the Trademark Trial and Appeal Board in 2014, but this did not stop Brunetti, and he appealed this to the United States Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit. The Court of Appeals ended up holding that preventing Brunetti from trademarking F-U-C-T violated his First Amendment rights. So then Mr. Andre Iancu, who at the time was the director of the United States Patent and Trademark Office, appealed to the Supreme Court. And the main question was whether Section 1052A, which by the way is Section 2 of the Lanham Act, which we discussed before, whether the section's prohibitions on the federal registration of, quote, immoral or scandalous marks is facially invalid under the Free Speech Clause of the First Amendment. So then on June 24th of 2019, the U.S. Supreme Court affirmed the Federal Circuit's ruling in a 6-3 decision. The Supreme Court held that the Lanham Act's prohibition on the registration of immoral or scandalous trademarks violates the First Amendment. So this was obviously a major decision here. Justice Elena Kagan wrote the majority opinion, and here's just one quote from her opinion. "The immoral or scandalous bar is substantially overbroad. There are a great many immoral and scandalous ideas in the world, even more than there are swear words, and the Lanham Act covers them all. It therefore violates the First Amendment." So now that we have this background knowledge on the Brunetti decision, we can return to the Tom Ford trademark case here concerning his perfume bearing the controversial name of Fucking Fabulous. Now, as a sidebar, this perfume is one of my favorites. It's a unisex scent with these kind of gourmand and spicy undertones, and it is one of the beauty brand's best-selling perfumes. So on December 20th of 2017, Tom Ford's attorney filed a trademark application for the word mark, quote, Tom Ford Fucking Fabulous under the fragrance classification, which I believe is 003. Over a year later, on December 26, 2018, the USPTO issued a suspension letter for the application. I think it was about 3 pages long. I just pulled a couple relevant sentences here. So basically, the suspension letter said that the applicant's mark appears to consist of or include matter that would be immoral or scandalous, and that registration normally would be refused under the scandalous provision of Section 2A because the mark constitutes of matter that may be immoral or scandalous. However, the constitutionality of this provision remains subject to potential U.S. Supreme Court review of the Brunetti case, and that applicant will be notified when the suspension is no longer appropriate, and that you don't have to respond to this suspension letter. So then we know that on June 24th of 2019, the Supreme Court ruled on the Brunetti case, and on July 14th, so only, what is that, 20 days later, the trademark application for Tom Ford was scheduled to publish in the Official Gazette. So this is one of the last steps before a trademark is registered. And then his trademark was indeed officially registered on September 9th of 2020. So I'm sure Tom Ford's team was very happy with this outcome, although it did take almost 3 years. And also of note is that Tom Ford's counsel then filed another trademark for the wordmark fucking fabulous, just without the Tom Ford at the beginning, on June 26th of 2019. So just 2 days after that major Supreme Court decision. They sure didn't waste any time here. And that mark was successfully registered on March 3rd of 2020. And that concludes episode 3 of season 3 of the Fashion Law Network podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Just want to give a huge thank you to you guys again. I can't believe people listen to me in over 20 countries. That would have been almost unimaginable to me almost a year ago when I first started this podcast. So I hope you guys have a wonderful day, and I will see you in 2 weeks for my next episode.